Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight on Saturday night of Missions Conference? Amen. I thank the Lord for his presence that we feel so powerfully in this house. And I give honor to your pastor and his wife and family. And what an honor it is for me to be able to be here at Wallace Ridge to preach. I'm thankful for the opportunity, and I'm thankful for all of you that are here tonight. I'm thankful for my wife that came with me. Amen. I don't go anywhere without her if I don't have to. Amen. If things get tight, I can count on her. So whether you shout with me or not, she's going to shout with me. Praise God. I want to turn your attention to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. Now, before we get started, I've got a confession I've got to make. I've got ADD really bad. And people send me messages and emails. And I'm real bad at looking at them, just not reading them real good. And my dad, when he sends emails or he sends text messages, he just writes books. And I told him, I said, don't send me that. Just tell me what you want. Tell me real quick. Put it in about one sentence. Tell me, and then that's good. Well, I stood up on a platform last night and looked at that screen. Not that one. The one that said, knowing the time. And I thought, man, I think that's the scripture I'm going to use tomorrow night. And I got to looking at my notes, and sure enough, but it was an accident. we're going to call it God, yeah, but I couldn't. I don't want you to think he just built this sermon on this. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now, everybody say now, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. If ever there was an hour when the church needed to wake up, it's right now. If ever there was a time when we needed to step into the dimension of dominion that God has placed in our hands, it's right now. The time for miracles, signs, and wonders is right now. The time for taking dominion over every demonic spirit is right now. So tonight I want to preach for a little while, if the Lord will help me, on the time is now. The time is now. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your wonderful people. Thank you for the privilege to be in this house to preach to your people tonight. I pray you to anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I bind every demon spirit. I bind every principality of the air. I come against every spirit of opposition. Loose the Holy Ghost, I pray, in this house tonight. I pray that God, you'd set upon me in a powerful way in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands one more time and give Jesus praise? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Nearly 60 years ago, the world began to prematurely write the obituary of the fledgling little nation of Israel. The armies of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Sudan were all poised at Israel's borders. And they were prepared to eradicate the Jewish nation. They had made their intentions known. They had broadcast loud and clear that they intended to destroy Israel. And none of the world powers were willing to stick their necks out in defense of the Jewish state, not even the United States. The descendants of Abraham were once again alone against impossible odds. And on the eve of the Six-Day War in 1967, the Egyptian forces that occupied the Sinai Peninsula were composed of several battle-tested divisions. Those seven divisions were made up of 100,000 warriors, professional soldiers who were trained in combat and tested for the fire from the fires of previous conflicts. At least 1,000 tanks, three lines of defensive artillery positions were deployed in support of Egypt's seven divisions. Israel, at the time, had no standing army. However, in response to the hostilities, she called up her military reserves, and around 45,000 men and women answered the call. They formed three Israeli divisions with about 650 tanks to support them. It is notable that of these reserves, these were not soldiers. They were just normal people. Bakers, butchers, teachers, bankers, mechanics, ordinary people from all walks of life. But as their nation stood on the brink of annihilation, they answered the call to come to her defense. Israel was in a very difficult position. She was forced to fight for her very right to exist. Yet her army and air force were undermanned, and most of her planes and tanks were World War II cast-offs, surplus military equipment. That was anything but state-of-the-art. Meanwhile, her adversaries were professional warriors, armed with the best military hardware that money could buy. And this is why the world had already written Israel off before the fighting ever began, because they were facing impossible odds. Hang on just a minute, I'm going to get where I need to go. However, there was a certain mindset among the Jews that could not be factored into any of the military analysis. That mindset became the deciding factor of the Six-Day War. It was embodied in a single Hebrew phrase that became the de facto motto of the Israeli military and the people of Israel as a whole. That phrase was in brera. It simply means no alternative. Essentially, it represented the fact that Israel was fighting for her national existence. There were no reserve troops. There were no backup plans. There would be no support from anywhere else. The full weight of their national survival rested on their shoulders. Every man and every woman who went into combat on June the 5th, 1967, did so with the understanding that there was no alternative to victory. They were Israel's last and greatest hope. They could not settle for anything less than victory. When they met impossible odds, they had to fight anyway, because they were all there was. When they faced insurmountable obstacles, they had to keep going, because the hope of Israel was riding on their shoulders. It was an attitude that was embodied in the famous speech given by General Tal on the eve of the Six-Day War. He called all of his officers together, and this is what he told them. He said, "Our goal, our plan is good, and I'm confident that you are capable of executing the plan down to the finest of details. But one thing I know as a veteran of combat, when the shooting starts tomorrow, the plans are going to go out the window. Nothing will happen according to the plans." He said, "The lines of advance are going to be wrong. The guy next to you is going to get killed. And you're going to try to radio headquarters, but you won't be able to get through. Everything is going to seem to break down." And in that moment, General Tal said, "I need you to remember one thing about the plans. There is one critical element that cannot be forgotten in the heat of the moment. When everything else changes, remember the concept behind the plans. The concept is simple. Every man attacks. Every tank attacks. Every unit will advance as fast as it can towards its final objective. Pay no attention to the flanks. Give no thought to resupply. If you attack with 10 tanks and 9 of them are destroyed, keep going forward with the 10th tank. Whatever you do, don't stop and don't lose momentum." Other countries, General Tal said, can afford to lose the initial battle and still carry the day. But we can't. You are all that we have. The fate of our nation rests on your shoulders. If you're defeated tomorrow, our nation will be lost forever. You are the only plan. There is no alternative. The battle tomorrow is for life or death. Every man will attack, giving no thought to casualties. There will be no retreat. There will be no halt. There will be no hesitation. Only forward momentum. We cannot afford to lose. And the rest is history. Israel prevailed against impossible odds. And while there is no doubt that they owe the miraculous victory to the blessings of God, there is also little doubt that the Embrera mindset is what carried them through the fiercest of fighting and compelled them to victory even when defeat seemed imminent. They settled the issue before the fight ever began. There can be no surrender. There can be no defeat because we are the only plan. What are you saying tonight, Brother Smith? This is what I'm telling you. I've come to preach the Wallace Ridge Mission Conference and tell you, you've got to understand something tonight. The apostolic church is God's only plan for reaching this world. This is it. There is no other option. There is no other alternative. God has no other means to reach the world except through the church. God help me tonight preach this thing. He has no other plan to minister to the lost and the hurting except through us. He has no other way to mend the brokenhearted, to bring healing to those that are sick, to bring hope to those that are hopeless, except through
the church. God has no other plan to demonstrate his power and his authority except through the church. Oh, I've come to tell you, the church isn't perfect. The church isn't composed of religious professionals. It isn't made up of men and women who are trained specifically for this purpose.
No. Much like that small Israeli army that took the field of battle in the Six-Day War, the church is composed of volunteers. Just ordinary men and women. Just good old faithful saints of God. Factory workers, car salesmen, computer technicians, truck drivers, healthcare professionals, normal men and women who have a few things in common. We have been washed by the blood of Jesus. We have been forgiven of our sins. And we have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And these are the ties that bind us together, that make us the church of the living God. Oh, we all have our faults and we all have our flaws, and not one of us is perfect, but we are the church, and God has fully invested himself in the church for the purpose of saving the world. God, I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but when it came to taking care of the sin problem, God said, I'll take care of that myself. And he went and hung on Calvary's cross and died and shed his blood. But when it came to the propagation of the gospel, he said, I'm putting it in the hands of the church, and I'm depending on you to get the job done. The hope of the entire world rests upon the shoulders of the church.
Hear me. We're living in the last moments of the last days. I don't know how much longer we have. I'm not here to cross theological swords with you. I don't know if you're pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, pan-trib. That doesn't make any difference to me. I'm telling you, we are closer than we have ever been to the sounding of the trumpet. We are living in the last moments of the last days. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You reckon we're living in perilous times? You reckon we're living in dangerous days? You reckon we're living in the hour where things are going nuts? It's perilous times. It's dangerous times. And Paul said, this know also, that in the last days, there's going to be dangerous times that come. The enemy's going to be on the loose. The enemy's going to be on the prowl. The enemy's going to do everything he can to try to stop the mission of the church. But I've come to preach tonight, and I've come to try to shake us awake and tell us the time is now. Isaiah 52 and verse number 1. Awake! Awake! Put all my strength, O Zion. Ephesians 5 and 14, the Apostle Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he said, awake thou that sleepest. Oh God. I'm telling you, it's troubling to me that in 2024,
there is a state of slumber that has enveloped the apostolic movement, and we're just going along to get along, and we don't want to upset the apple cart, and we don't want to say anything that's going to offend somebody. But I'm here to tell you, we've got a message to deliver, we've got a word to preach, we've got a life to live, and it's time we quit tucking our head, and it's time we quit being intimidated, and it's time we quit trying to blend in with this denomination and that denomination, and it's time we preach and declare the whole counsel of God. You don't have to be mean about it, but you've got to do it and preach it. We are living in the last day. We're living in troublesome times. If you'll study Jewish history, you'll find out that their greatest leaders were born in the worst of times. In the days of the judges, when there was an enemy on every corner, and there was danger everywhere that Israel looked, it was in that hour that Samson and Jephthah and the judges were raised up. The tougher it gets, the greater the opportunity you have to become a Daniel or a Jeremiah. Someone said, oh, I'm just going to hang back. I'm just going to tuck my head. It's dangerous days out there. I've come to tell you, the tougher it gets, the greater the opportunity for you to be a Daniel or a Jeremiah. You'd never have heard of Samson without his Philistines. And you'd have never known of David without his giant. You'd have never heard of Daniel without his lion's den. It was those challenges and the dark hours that plagued these men that made them. We've got to come to grips with who we are. We've got to come to grips with who God intends for us to be. In this room tonight, right here at Wallace Ridge, there is an exceeding great army. I said, in this room tonight, right here at Wallace Ridge, there is an exceeding great, an apostolic army. Amen. God has called you for such a time as this. This past year, 2023, we had such a mighty move of God at our church back home. We've always had wonderful church, always been baptizing people, praying them through. But something happened in 2023. There was an apostolic demonstration. There was an apostolic outpouring. And when we got from January 1, 2023 to December 31st of 2023, and we tabulated and calculated the numbers, we had baptized 434 people in the name of Jesus, and over 350 had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. It still is a wonderful time. They're still being baptized. They're still being fulfilled with the Holy Ghost. It didn't stop at December. We're rolling on into January and it's still happening. But in the middle of that revival, I went to bed one night on Saturday night. Sometime in the middle of the night, something happened. In the middle of that Saturday night, God took me in the spirit and began showing me things concerning the opposition that had gathered to oppose what God had set in motion concerning end time revival. God carried me into a huge room
The best way I could describe it, it was like a large gymnasium. It was full. Now some of this, it may blow some of y'all's mind if you don't believe this stuff, but it's a fact. That large gymnasium was full wall to wall. I didn't see one empty seat. It was full of witches. The lights were dim. There was little strobes of flashing light going through the air. They were dressed not in the typical witch's garb that was all black. Brother Borders, they were dressed in the color of the rainbow. Kind of interesting. We won't get into that. And I could hear them chanting. They were engaging in spiritual battle against the outpouring of God's Spirit. There was no audible voice that spoke to me, but rather God communed with me. The best I can describe it to you is spirit to spirit. He gave me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as he was taking me through this spiritual encounter. He let me know that there is a gathering together of satanic forces across the land trying to stop this apostolic end time outpouring. I awoke Brother Thornton in a sweat. When I woke up, I was physically sick. I knew that God had showed me the strategy of Satan. And I knew that he had given me the strategy of heaven to combat it. I can tell you tonight, standing flat-footed on this platform, that there is not one ounce of fear in me about what I saw and about what was imparted to me. But I can tell you that there is a righteous stirring in my soul to do my best to awaken the church and position us in an offensive attack against the enemy. I've come. That's my job. That's my duty. Everywhere I go, I gotta wake them up. I gotta stir them up. I gotta shake the slumber off. I gotta get you to wipe the sleepy bugs out of your eyes. And you gotta realize we are in a war. We are in a spiritual war. Yes, someone said, witches, Brother Smith, you really believe in all that? If you don't, the devil's got you buffaloed. We are living in a world that is spinning out of control. We are living in a nation that has absolutely lost its way. Chaos, confusion, and wickedness are seemingly having their way in our world. The atmosphere is dark. The atmosphere is heavy. And when I came to from that spiritual encounter, sometime early that Sunday morning, I heard a voice, Brother Stevenson, repeating in my ear. I could hear it in my spirit, saying, I've chosen you to change the atmosphere. I've chosen you to change the atmosphere. I've chosen you to change the atmosphere. I couldn't quit hearing it. I kept hearing it, Brother Borders, over and over in my spirit. I've chosen you to change the atmosphere. And I couldn't get it out of my heart. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I kept thinking about it. God, what in the world is going on? What are you telling me? And I've come, I began to understand. Hey, man, I knew that this was not a mandate to me as an individual, but this was a mandate to the entire apostolic church. And I've come to deliver it to you tonight. He has chosen us to change the atmosphere. He has chosen us to change the atmosphere. We've got a job to do.
When God created the church, he did it with you in mind. Don't let the devil tell you you don't matter and you're not a big deal and the church can make it without you. No, when God created you, or he created the church, he created you with you in mind. God, I'm so sick and tired of the devil isolating the saints of God and saying, you don't matter, you don't count. I've come to tell you, yes, you do. You are a child of God. You've got power. You've got dominion. You've got authority. You just got to use it. God has placed himself in the hands of the church, where his hands, where his feet, where his mouthpiece. We are his manifestation on this earth. And we think we can just sit around and wait for God to make it happen. We think it's good enough to have a Sunday night service. We run the aisles and a couple people get the Holy Ghost, a couple people get healed. And I'm not against that. We ought to have that every Sunday night. But I'm going to tell you, what about Monday? What about Tuesday? God help me. What about Wednesday? I've been fighting the devil all day long. I'm going to get this sucker off of me tonight. Amen. What about Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? You're just sitting around waiting for Sunday to roll back around. No. Amen. God put himself in the hands of the church. You can't just sit around. You got to do something with him.
God, help me. Help me not make them mad.
Come on. I'm not your pastor. I'm not going to try to be your pastor. Matter of fact, I'm the nicest pastor around. But I'm going to tell you something. This little joker right here, you call it a cell phone. It's actually a thief. Jesus help me. This thing right here is a thief. Amen. They brought it in under the skies and you got to have it. You got to have phone calls. And you can't miss phone calls. And I'm in agreement. You run a business, you got work to do. You got to have a phone to be able to take the calls. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a thief in other areas. Amen. You don't believe me? Why don't you just scroll down to your screen time? Well, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible, and I sure don't have time to teach a Bible study. Your cell phone and your screen time will indict you at the judgment seat. Hang on. I believe this. If all that time we spent not talking about making phone calls that are important, but all that time we spent on social media and all that time we spent watching stuff on this sucker, if we got rid of all that stuff and said, all the time I spent on this thief I'm going to give to the kingdom of God, this world couldn't handle the revival God would give us. I'm going to tell you, that's a fact. Amen. The Bible, you know what the problem is with the apostolic church in America? We're not near hungry enough. Oh, no. We're not near hungry enough for a move of God. The Bible said, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If you get hungry enough, God will fill you up. Seed me up.
Stevenson's eating me up.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Get to the end of the week on Sunday mornings. I don't know when it happens to everybody, but for me, I don't know how it's set up, but on Sunday mornings just before church. Get this thing said weekly screed.
Yeah.
And I look at that thing. I said, Brother Porter, surely that can't be true. There's no way I spent that much time on that device. I don't know why I'm preaching like this tonight. But I feel something resting on me right now. Just kind of pushing me. Just kind of pushing me. It's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to shake off the slumber. It's time for the church to realize the time is now. We might not have another 6 months. We might not have another year. But we got right now. We've got to do something with it. He has chosen us to change the atmosphere.
Yes.
What are we doing to change it?
Holy Ghost.
How are we going about changing the atmosphere of our world? I see other folks doing things to change the atmosphere. I see the ungodly doing things to change the atmosphere. I see the unrighteous doing things to push us further and further away from God. But what about the apostolic church? What are we doing to change the atmosphere? We have a job to do. I'm here to tell you, as sure as I'm standing on this platform tonight, amen, there is a spiritual attack against the apostolic movement to try to stop end time outpouring. You hear me? It is the will of God for every apostolic, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church to have unprecedented apostolic revival. But number one, we've got to get a hunger back. And number two, we've got to get our authority back. Someone said, well, how are we going to do that? Well, what are we going to do to change the atmosphere? I'll tell you, the first thing you can do to change the atmosphere is be careful what you speak. Be careful what you say. In Genesis chapter 1, we read of how the earth's atmosphere was dark and empty. And God spoke a let there be word. And the atmosphere was transformed. Light came to drive out the darkness. I'm telling you, it is the duty of every apostolic believer to start declaring what God says. It is the duty of every apostolic child of God to start speaking what God says. We get intimidated and we want to shut up. It's time we open our mouth and start talking. You hear me tonight? In this building right now, there is destiny hovering over this church. Destiny. Apostolic destiny. Brother Stevenson, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is resting on this church, and the Holy Ghost is going to move in an unprecedented manner. We've got to be careful what we say. There's a war going on tonight. You can't see it. But if you have any kind of spiritual perception, you sure enough feel it.
It is a war for dominion, for power, for control. It is a war for the destiny of this church as the corporate body of Wallace Ridge, and it's a war for your individual destiny. It's a war for your family. It's a war for your home. Hell has been belched out. This war is nothing new. Matter of fact, it's been going on a long time. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He further declares to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've come to preach to you tonight and tell you, you've got to cast down those imaginations. You've got to cast down those high thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. On a service night, your pastor preaches the word of God. Amen. And that old devil comes and tries to exalt himself above the knowledge of God. You've got to say, oh no, I'm casting you down. I got a word from my man of God. I got a word from heaven. I'm casting you down. Paul is telling us we've got to be prepared for war. Jesus himself said the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, if you're going to get anywhere in the spirit, you've got to fight for it. If you're going to have a revival, you got to fight for it. If you're going to have an apostolic demonstration, you got to fight for it. God have mercy. Somebody ought to say, I'm going to fight. Hear me. Territory is only gained in the spirit world by fighting. If you think, well, I don't want to get that devil stirred up, so I'm just going to sit down and take it easy. You're never going to get any territory. Territory in the spirit world is only gained by fighting. God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with dominion over it, to keep it prospering and protected. And when Adam discovered that old serpent had been whispering to his wife, he had the authority to kick the serpent out, but he chose not to. And I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He is happy, Brother Frederick, to walk in the territory that we give him. The devil is happy, amen, to walk in the dominion that you and I forfeit. If you just sit there and let him run his shops and you don't say anything about it, he's happy to take the dominion that you forfeit. I'm telling you, the time's now. The time's now. There's a lady in my church. She'd been praying. She'd been praying against spirits that were attacking her family. She rebuked the spirit of rebellion. Seemed like a good spirit to rebuke. I rebuke rebellion right now in Jesus' name. She rebuked the spirit of rebellion. And as soon as she did, the spirit spoke back to her and
and said, you will be sorry. And she was so surprised that she didn't say anything. She stayed silent. And she began to worry how the spirit would attack her. And the following week, she came under a vicious spiritual attack. And one day in prayer, she asked God, she said, what could I have done differently to avoid being attacked? And this is what the Lord spoke to her. He said, when that spirit told you that you would be sorry, you immediately believed him and worried about how the spirit was going to attack you. And because you believed that you would be attacked, you put yourself in agreement with the devil. The next thing you did was you stayed silent. And your silence gave the enemy permission to attack you.
The Lord said what you should have done is open your mouth and declare to that demon, you have no authority over me. And you will not attack me. I am a child of God. And the blood of Jesus has been covered over me. You can't do anything that God doesn't let you do. You have no authority in my life. But I'm here to preach tonight to Wallace Ridge Missions Conference and tell you too many times we agree with Satan with our silence. We just don't say anything. We just keep quiet and hope the devil goes away. He don't go away. The enemy cannot hurt us unless we give him permission. Luke chapter 10, verse number 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have to believe that, brothers and sisters, ladies and children, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In this war, the devil wants you to shut up with your voice. You proclaim the plans and the purposes of God for your life. What you speak and what you declare is important. And one of the greatest weapons that we have to combat the enemy of our soul is your mouth. Your words are what determines victory or defeat in many spiritual battles. In other words, you have to say something. When that devil comes against your home, and that devil comes against your mind, and that devil comes against your emotions, and you feel like you're going to crumble under the pressure, and you feel like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Amen. You need to pull yourself together. Amen. With all the faith you can muster, you need to start speaking to the devil and say, I'll rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. Oh God, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. You know, I remember when I was a little boy, I used to hear that a lot. I used to hear the old timers saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Now we've come so far uptown, we don't hear that near enough. That's right.
But I'm telling you, we need to start going back old fashioned. And when the old devil comes against us, we need to start saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. God, I feel the Holy Ghost on me. I feel the Holy Ghost on me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I wish somebody get this inside of your spirit tonight. Amen. Every time you take a step and the devil's against you and the devil's warring against you, you want to say, I plead the blood. 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 I'm telling you, you start saying it and you start feeling something. When your kids start acting crazy, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. When your spouse starts going nuts, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. God, we are in a war and we've got to wake up.
I don't know what time I started, but if I get some help up here, we'll quit here in a second. When that giant of Gath, Goliath, came lumbering out into the valley of Elah in front of all the armies of Israel, King Saul stood trembling. And for 40 days, this giant had kept the army of Israel in the trenches, cowering, afraid, and paralyzed with fear. And all of a sudden, a young man named David come out to check on his brothers. And he saw what was going on. And he said to King Saul, he said, that ain't no big deal. I'll fight him. And Saul said, but David, hang on, just time out a minute. Let me explain something to you. This joker's been fighting a long time. He's skilled at it. Not only is he skilled, have you seen how big he is? And Saul started telling David about this giant of Gath. But David wasn't wired that way. He never, read it for yourself, he never referred to Goliath as a giant. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. Everybody else said, my God, look at that giant. And Goliath's all puffed up saying, yeah, look at how big I am. Amen. And he was getting strength from everybody talking about him being a giant. But David said, no, I'm not calling him a giant. He is an uncircumcised Philistine. Let me translate that for you. What David was saying about Goliath was, he is a heathen that is not a part of God's promise. You see a giant. I see someone that doesn't have God's promise on his life. And when I look in the mirror, I see someone that does have God's promise on his life. Said he's an uncircumcised Philistine. David, he had problems. You can read about that. But he didn't have problems with his mouth stealing his promises. David replied to Saul, said, I've killed a lion and a bear when they tried to steal my father's sheep. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them. He said, you come against me with a sword and a spear. That's all you've got. I got bad news for you, you old heathen. I've got much more than a sword and a shield. I've got
faith-filled words that will be followed by divinely guided actions. And he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And David commenced to speaking. 1 Samuel 17:45. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, listen how he's talking. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I'll give thy carcass, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the under the fowls of the air, into the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. He said, you got all these other jokers scared to death, but I got something on the inside of me. I've got faith-filled words that will be followed by divinely guided actions. And you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, in whom thou hast defied. And he said, this day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but we're going to do it now. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I'll smite you, and I'll take your head from you, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines today under the fowls of the air and in the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. Stand with me, I'm done. Notice, you got to get this. Talking about changing the atmosphere. Someone's, how do we do that, Pastor Smith? You got to start speaking the right stuff. Notice, David said it first. David said, today the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I'll smite thee, and I'll cut your head off, joker. He said it first, and then God empowered him to do it. What he'd said determined what God did. Someone said, well, why hadn't God been doing it? Because you ain't been speaking it. Oh, Jesus, help us. Forgive us all, Lord. Forgive us all, Lord. But we've been sitting around too often mumbling and grumbling and saying, well, a poor pitiful me, and oh, I'm going through this and I don't know why I'm going through it. When you ought to change your strategy up and say, I'm going to quit murmuring and I'm going to quit complaining and I'm going to quit feeling sorry for myself and I'm going to start speaking words of faith that said, I know that God can do it. With him, there's nothing to it. I don't care how long my kids been out of church. I don't care how long my spouse been out of church. I don't care how rocky my finances look. I trust in God. You got to speak it. When you speak it. Remember, the Bible said the power of life and death is in the... Some of you is cursing yourself with words you're speaking. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you. I pastor people. They curse themselves, Brother Stevenson, because of what they say. They saying the wrong stuff. Yeah, they're speaking what they see in the natural. But when they speak what they see in the natural, they are giving credence. They give faith to the devil. But when you prayed, baby, and you got a word from God, you might not see it yet. You just start talking it. It might not be manifesting just yet, but you just start speaking it. And as you speak it, God's going to start doing it. But he's waiting on your words to be spoken. Come on, lift up your voice. Let's love God right now. Let's exercise our faith right now.
I'm tired of the devil pushing me around. I'm tired of the devil having his way in my life. I'm tired of the devil having his way in my family. I'm pushing back. I'm speaking faith-filled words. I will have a move of God. I will have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I will see souls saved. God, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house. I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. Come on, Wallace Ridge. Come on, Wallace Ridge. Not backing up. We're not backing down. We're going forward. Amen. The weight of the kingdom of God rests on our shoulders. Not by mind, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. There it is. Come on. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Yeah. That's it. Let heaven hear it. Let heaven hear it. God, I feel the Holy Ghost working. I feel the Holy Ghost working. She Satabaho Saha. Satatonoboko Siha Tatarabahaya. If it's appropriate, put your hand on your neighbor beside you. Pray together in faith. Pray together in the Holy Ghost. Himself to the hands of the church. God has put himself in the hands of the church. Come on, push it. Push it. Push it. We're in a war, but we're going to win. We've got dominion. We've got spiritual authority. Start declaring it. Open your mouth up and declare it. Open your mouth up and speak it. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. I'm leaving this night. I'm leaving this service tonight changed. I'm going to be different. I'm going to walk out in faith. minute, just one minute. I feel this right now. There are three major spirits that have come against the apostolic church. And everywhere I go, people are fighting it. Anxiety, fear, worry. Everybody's scared to death. Wake up in the morning with a cloud hanging over your head, feel like an axe getting ready to bust you on top of your head, and you don't even know what you're worried about. It is the attack of the devil. It is the onslaught of hell to try to keep you wore down and to try to keep you beat down and to try to keep you from living in the promises that God has given to you. But I'm here tonight to tell you it's time you speak back to that thing. It's time you open your mouth and talk back to it. When you wake up in the morning and you feel that heaviness, you need to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Too much, too much, too much. Devil beating on the people of God. Causing us to worry about stuff. Causing us to be afraid. Let me tell you something. Fears of the devil. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. If you're tormented by fear, the devil's put that on you. You need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus and say, fear, get out. Fear, get out. Fear, get out. I don't know why I feel this, but I feel it just settle on me right here. We've got to start opening our mouths. For too long, we have agreed with the enemy by not saying anything. We're sitting there wringing our hands. Oh God, what are we going to do? Oh God, how's it going to happen? Oh God, what's going to take place next? It's time we start taking authority over that in the name of Jesus. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm right here right now standing flat-footed. And I've come to defy that demon spirit of fear and anxiety and worry right now in the name of Jesus. And I've come to tell you to get out. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Go ahead. Let's begin to worship the Lord right now. As you're worshiping the Lord, begin to speak. Begin to open your mouth. No more, devil. No more.
He's a struggle no for survival. Daily to fail. Out here on the battlefield. Sometimes we stand alone. That's when we reach for our holy armor. Pick up our shield of faith. So to the battlefield, take out a sword and say,
"Monster inside, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak. And my world's running back, no, no, my world's running back. The road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy's here, but he's not too strong. And my world's running back, no."
Through the